Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out. Hi.
Hello.
We have had a wonderful day.
We have.
We celebrated a mutual friend's 50th birthday.
Yes. And it was fun. Nobody got a broken arm, even though we went ice skating.
We did. I've never done that over 20 years. Yeah. And this was Livia's first time ice skating.
Was it really?
Yes.
You were ever.
I know. She didn't fall down on her ass.
Dang.
Once.
And it's a cute ass, I'm just going to say.
It is cute. Yeah. It's very cute. I will say. I'm biased. We have a guest today.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to hear Livia's perspective. So.
So who is Livia?
Livia is my favorite daughter.
Your favorite daughter?
She's my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter and my favorite daughter.
She's a pretty awesome daughter.
Say more, please.
Keep going, Mom.
Okay. Yeah. Livia is also my favorite neighborhood girl. She has been since she's been five. And she would come over to my house and eat cucumbers.
Like
an apple.
That's a skill that not a lot of people have.
I know. Right. How many kids can you – you're like – they come home after school and for a snack. It's like, oh, do you want some potato chips? She's like, do you got a cucumber?
Well, did she eat it like a corn on the cob?
Like, no, she just way? Like, she ate it like from, a carrot.
Oh, okay. No. From tip to tip.
Which really came in. So, you know, now that she's an adult, she's decided
ravage
that.
She cucumbers.
She's a cucumber ravager, but.
She's the cucumber queen.
Oh my.
I hope this is
helping me. She's got a lot of talent.
Yeah. Well, we don't even know this. We're just making stuff up. But thank you for playing along, Livia.
I mean, it's been wonderful to have Liv with us all day. It's been a pleasure.
It has been.
She's home for Christmas break and... Is this your last day? So
yeah, mm-hmm. She's got a 7-hour drive ahead of her tomorrow.
Yes,
to
get back.
Got to pack too tomorrow.
Laundry's done, so
half the battle.
Yeah.
Do you have good snacks? What kind of car snacks are you going to have?
That yet.
Oh yeah, we have no car snacks.
Oh, you got to stop somewhere.
Yeah. We will. Yeah,
you got to do that. You got to do that.
Yeah, gotta survive the trip.
Yeah, I have to have. I don't drink energy drinks any other time than when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I think they're disgusting. Every other hour.
I think they're so disgusting, but coffee doesn't quite do the trick anymore.
How do you stay awake for 7 straight hours sitting still?
I don't.
I'm asleep half the time.
Yeah. I just close my eyes on the straight parts and... Open
it
back up.
Oh, God.
That's, you know, that's what the dashes, you know, like the bumps, you know, sometimes they have a little, when you're in Seattle in a place, they have the little, the ribble strips and then the little bumpy strips between the lane divides and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's they're teaching the blind how to drive. It's like, when you hit the ravel strip, you go to that way until you hit the bump and you go back. It's like driving by Braille.
Liv, promise me you'll just stop if you start getting tired. Pull over, close your eyes for 5 seconds, and then you'll feel great.
Because we used to do that trip when they were babies.
Yeah.
Because, Brad's family lived up here. Yeah. And I remember he would get off a shift at 11 p.m. And then we would go after that. So Brad would be awake for like 36 straight hours.
Oh, that's
and
good.
We would trade off driving. And I remember nodding off multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And he would be like, I think I fell asleep. It's your turn to take the wheel.
So scary.
I did that all the time.
And I cannot believe that anybody allowed us to do that.
Well,
so
and not
scary.
Only that,
what
like,
were we thinking?
Here's the thing that people have
I'm
to
sorry.
Add to the equation.
I know.
20 years ago, that road the road. We're talking rural Idaho 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't have a family member who died on that road? Like, I have two. And so it's just like, those roads were so bad back then. Like, they like feel like now I feel like I could sleep while I drive on them because they're so
I do have a lane assist.
It's like that Seinfeld
It drives one. For me.
Yeah. And in Seinfeld, do you remember when like they did the adopt a highway and then like he got rid of the center lane? He's like, ooh, this is so luxurious. It's so wide. It's so nice. And Kramer got rid of the two lanes and he made it just one extra wide lane. It totally feels like that now. It's like, oh,
that's true.
Look at me. I can go anywhere.
But it's just straight, boring road with a sagebrush here and there.
It's true. So it's have you ever driven that road when the mice are on the road?
Mm-mm. Gross.
Mice. Oh my gosh. No, it's this freak thing that happens. And it's just a couple of times a year where at night, it's like on a full moon or something. I don't know. When the witches do their little dance.
The mice come out.
And you don't.
The werewolves are howling.
The road is covered with white. And I didn't know. The first couple of times it happened to me when I was driving on that road back and forth during college, I thought it was, you know, cottonwood trees, how all the little cotton goes. Yeah. And I thought it was, I was like, whoa, this is a weird time. It's not cottonwood season. Why is all this white on the road? And then I finally learned it was mice. The road was covered in
field mice. So you're driving over them?
You are driving over the mice. And I am like so glad I did not know that when I was doing it because I would have pulled over and just bawled my eyes out.
Oh. Yeah, killed thousands of mice. Millions.
Gross. Yeah, I'm that person.
Did you know that they share like 98% of our DNA?
I know. I like killed your cousin.
Someone was saying, like they were explaining why mice are used in so much research.
Yeah, I was going to say it makes sense, I suppose.
We share a lot of same DNA.
That's so horrible.
Creepy.
Creepy. Like this show. Let's talk about the creepiness in this show.
Well, I have to say, Lydia loves a good rom-com.
So I'm this one was not funny.
You didn't think it was funny?
No.
Well,
so okay. What movie are
let's
we actually
talk about
doing?
It.
Let's tell them.
So this is An Affair to Remember.
Who chose this, by the way?
I did.
Valerie did, but I backed her up on it because I love Cary Grant. He is
Cary Grant? One was he?
He was Nicky. He was the protagonist.
The main, I have no idea.
The main male.
Well,
guys, I'm not as cultured as you are.
He's just seems to me like such a sophisticated, funny. I mean, I think he's a really well-rounded.
Yeah, and he's a good actor
leading
too.
Man.
I've never seen him in anything.
Yeah.
Well, you have to watch movies between 1930.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
1930, 40, and 1970. I think he was alive until 1970-ish.
Yeah, and he was kind of, he was 75. A little bit ripe in this one.
Yeah, right. A little bit ripe.
Well, this was filmed in 1959 or whatever.
57, 58, 57. Or 59. We're not sure.
Yeah, I know. So, like, he'd been leading man material for over 20 years, still going for the young hotties.
I think he's great. But so Cary Grant is one of the protagonists. Mm-hmm. His the name in the movie is Nicky Ferrante, and Deborah Carr plays Terry McKay, his leading lady. The director is Leo McCary. I think that's how you pronounce that. And then the other minor roles are Kenneth, who plays Terry McKay's fiance or lover.
For 5 years. Like quite a while, I think they've been together.
Yeah. Neva Patterson plays Lois Clark, which is
Cary Grant's
lover. And Kathleen Nesbitt is Cary Grant's grandmother, or I should say Nikki's grandmother.
She's cute.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. That kind of...
And none of these people have I ever heard of in my life.
Oh, well.
Not once.
There you go.
You need to start watching TMC.
Yep.
Turner Murphy Classics.
You do.
Nope.
But Livia's yes. going to give us Livia's going to give us a little rundown on a synopsis of the whole show.
All right. So, a man and a woman have a romance while on a cruise from Europe to New York. Despite being engaged to other people, both agree to reunite at the top of the Empire State Building in 6 months. However, an unfortunate accident keeps her from the reunion, and he fears that she is married or does not love him anymore.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun!
I think that summed it up. Good night.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Liv.
Yes.
So, Nicky Ferrante is a notorious playboy. He's famous for womanizing.
I loved how every single news station across the globe, they had newscasters like, in different languages. This just in, everyone.
News update.
The world's biggest Bigelow Gigolo, whatever he was.
Juice Bigelow Gigolo.
Is no longer on the market.
He is now engaged to the richest heiress. I mean, heiress.
She's quite hairy indeed.
Yes.
Well, she's the hairiest of heiresses.
Oh my gosh, it just it cracked me up because I was like, on what planet does anyone care?
I don't know. You look at like everybody freaking out about like, oh my gosh, who's Prince William gonna marry?
Oh
my
true.
Goodness, yeah. You know
what,
like,
is that show where it's like Hollywood Insider, is that what it is, where they talk about like that kind of gossip?
And we don't even have famous people. We're like, oh my God, The Bachelor. He's going to be like, I don't even care about either one of these people. And who knows anything about him? But who's he going to pick?
Okay.
That's true.
Point.
Yes. Those probably social media people sometimes too are mm-hmm. popular in certain.
Yeah.
For certain people. I guess
that maybe it was not weird. I thought it was weird. I'm like, really? This is on the news?
Well, because everybody keeps like stopping to ask him for his autograph.
Yes.
And I kept thinking, who is he? Why is he famous? But I guess he's just a sexy playboy who is now marrying a very wealthy woman.
But what I thought was
engaged.
Oh, yes, engaged.
Yes,
they weren't married.
No.
And what I thought was really funny is the person that was asking him for his autograph most and being so was that like middle-aged man who was all like, hey, you juice gigolo Bigelow, you know, can you sign this creepy photo that I got of you from the ship photographer for me because you're just such a stud muffin?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
He kept saying, come play cards with me and my wife. Yeah. I'm like,
well, that's a little creepy. Should we be reading something into that? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there was like some.
At the time it was filmed, that was illegal. So
his love interest.
That was the interest to remember.
Okay, that's the quote of the show.
Nikki's love interest is Terry McKay, and I thought it was kind of cute how they meet. They're on the ship and Nicky loses his cigarette case and she randomly picks it up and is taking it to security or whoever to get it back to the owner. And he sees her walking by with the cigarette case.
Yeah.
And
he thinks she stole it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And nothing says I love you like, stop, thief.
But then, is this where he says the line, well, don't you have an honest face? Which was pretty hot and heavy pickup line.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Some random guy came up and said, don't you have an honest face? I would be head over heels.
Well,
and I think
and
that's
he,
how it was for
he,
them.
He realizes it's her. That she doesn't know it's his and... She's trying to make sure it is his, mm-hmm. and she asks him what's inscribed in it.
Oh, yes.
And it's from a former lover, and it says, what's inscribed is, in memory of three unforgettable nights. Oh.
Wow.
La la.
If we only knew.
It's the business.
But so then after that, they kind of have this sort of fun banter between them, and he follows her. Well, they kind of want to keep the conversation going. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not going to your room, so come to my room.
Yeah, why is that okay? Like, I don't get it. Like, okay, I'm not going to go to your room with you, but why don't you just come over to my room and we'll be alone here? Because, you know, in my room, we of course wouldn't do anything naughty.
I think she made some excuse about how, like, being a woman, she didn't want him to know where she could be found.
I kind of kept thinking she was saying it was, you know, she didn't want to be taken advantage of, and she wouldn't be taken advantage of in her own room. But I'm like, it wouldn't matter. You're alone in a room, whether it's your room or his room.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
and
they go to her room.
And I think his answer, and this could be a total lie, but I love the line because he's like, she's like, he's totally coming on to her, and she knows that he's engaged to be married. And he says, I'm sorry, but I cheat. It's an addiction. So to me, that's totally fine.
So I'm available. I'm available to you. I'm liking you. Let's
So one of the things that was creepy to me in this situation.
Creepy. This was supposed to be romance.
I'm sorry. Creepy romance.
Okay.
And here's a creepy romance thing from 1950. Is so he's this like gigolo boy. And she's apparently also almost the female equivalent of it in a sense. But it's okay for her more so because her rich man found her and was impressed by her and decided that she needed to be groomed to see if she could become his wife. So this rich man was paying for her to be exposed to the luxuries of the world and to have singing lessons and all the charming things. And her and Cary Grant actually even say, well, of course he's going to groom you to make you a good wife. And she's like, yep, that's exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all awesome.
That's normal. Totally,
yeah. And of course she should just feel honored that this rich man is like, I'm going to groom you into what I want you to be.
So is that why she ended up on the cruise? Because I didn't understand why, like, two single people were just randomly on a cruise.
Her quote-unquote fiancé-ish guy thought that she needed to be culturally exposed to this. And I can't remember because they even talked about that. Yes, he wants my groomer wants me to have this experience and to become cultured in this way. And like, she explained it like in a, I didn't choose to
so
be on this trip.
You picked up on that part, but I picked up on that he said he had business in Texas and that she wasn't up on the up and up with the business side of things. So he just wanted to send her away.
Yeah.
That's why I thought that she was on this cruise and I didn't understand why the man was on the cruise. Was he just going to see his grandma?
Wasn't there a Madeline lady involved or something for that too? Like there was something that like
make
there was
sense
a...
why you would just get on a cruise for, and Livia pointed this out, the entire spring.
Yeah. For the whole spring.
I'm like, who in their middle age can just jump on a ship?
I thought he said he was traveling.
Well, he doesn't have a job. He's just like a kept man, kind of.
Yeah, he's a kept man and she's a kept woman.
And I, who knows, maybe he was doing something in Europe and is just traveling back to meet up with his wife. We could make a whole backstory.
This was taking place in 1957, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are flights.
International
flights, right? Yeah.
We were guessing like airplanes didn't exist back then.
Yeah, that was when he'd be traveling on a cruise. That's so inefficient.
I mean, 1930s, 1940s, I get like ships, but this was late 1950s, right?
Yeah.
And so in the late 1950s, they definitely had transatlantic flights.
Well, they did show an airplane.
Well, maybe they want. Maybe Nikki did want to stop and see his grandmother. I mean, maybe that was part of it. He was thinking, I need to get back to New York, but I do want to see my grandmother and the ship's ports and her.
And he wanted to give her that painting too.
Yeah.
So
we'll go with that. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the one woman needed culturing and to be out of her fiance's hair. Mm-hmm. And he still was grooming her in that creepy, this is acceptable way. Mm-hmm. Creepy. I'm the only one who thinks that's creepy.
Yeah, no. It's yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But, no. You know, it still does happen today.
Yeah. Women
are still.
Do you see that, Livia? I want to know because I'm out of the loop.
The grooming? Like, are we being groomed?
I wouldn't say, like, being groomed to be a perfect wife, but there are certainly men who have money who are, they'll support a woman. Yeah. You know, that's.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, there's the dude in town that gives people boob jobs in exchange for services.
Oh
yeah. You heard about this?
That's grooming.
Do you remember when he was like, and then, this guy, do you remember when he told our friend, he's like, oh, awesome. I would, if you date me, I don't have to pay for your boob job.
Oh, that's right. She had great tits already.
Yeah, she did have great tits.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. and then she's like, no, I'm not going to date you. And he's like, oh, wait, that's because you're my therapist, right? And she's like, no, that's because you're a dick. You're disgusting.
Yeah. So, yes, it still happens.
Yeah, it does happen still.
Well, by between the time they meet mm-hmm. and the time they port in Nikki's grandmother's town, which I don't know where it was, Italy or something like that.
I can't remember. It felt like Italy.
Yeah. I have to say they become pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an interesting, mm-hmm. they become friends. They really like each other. Then they're like, well, we don't want people to talk. So we don't want anybody to, was that before or after? I think it was after grandma's. So they become really good friends. And I feel like I was kind of disappointed that their friendship piece didn't last longer.
Yeah.
I felt like it was quick.
Well, I think what they did is I think they wanted to have this great big, oh, now we're soulmates moment in the church at grandma's.
Yeah.
Okay. Which that was happen. The fakest praying I have ever seen in my
life. She was just staring.
They were next to each other, kneeling and looking at some statue. And you know what was going through their mind the whole time.
Yes. Yes, Father. Yes. Oh, God,
the scene was very quiet. Well, so Nikki invites Terry to visit his grandma. And it's a very special, like, his grandma is a very special woman. And Terry immediately just loves her. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a connection,
and the grandma loves Terry.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And she even tells Nikki, I hope this is the woman who's going to ground you, you know?
Yeah. Well, and grandma also basically says, you know, he acts like a duck, but he's really a swan.
Well, that's all good grandma shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, grandma, you're delusional.
No, a little biased. Grandma,
as all grandmas are.
Watch the news, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. She's grandma. Out of the loop. Yeah, grandma's.
Terry also realizes that Nikki is a very good artist, because that's one of the things that Nikki is doing, is stopping by his grandmother's house to give her a picture that he painted of his grandfather. Mm-hmm. So we realize now that he's also very talented.
He's not just a gigolo.
No, he's got depth. Nikki has depth. Yes.
No. I mean, can you guys not, like, okay, am I the only one who's, every time we talk about him being a gigolo, I'm like, deuce bigolo, gigolo.
That's true. Hey, that was the term back then.
I know. I'm just a gigolo.
It's been around for a long time.
Everywhere I go.
Oh, gosh. Didn't know that one.
David Lee Roth, baby.
But they are both very well aware, as they're on this cruise ship, that they are both engaged to someone else. Because mm-hmm. I believe, like, mm-hmm. they are.
Yeah, they both are.
And
I think everyone on the cruise ship knows, too, because they're, it's a very public, Nikki and people, Lois, have a very public engagement.
Oh, yeah.
So after they visit grandma, they get back on the boat and they're super connected because their dreams or their prayers they want to have come come to reality. So there's, I do love this scene. They're walking down these stairs. They're outside. Oh, yeah. They're kind of out on the deck talking, and then they walk down the stairs, and she
is going up.
I think, they're going down, and you see both of their full bodies, and then she takes two steps up, so you can only see her legs, she pulls him up.
But before that happens... Just before that happens, there's this little kid that I call Dennis the Menace. Oh. And he's hanging on the railing upside down like a monkey. And he's like somehow stuck and can't get down. And she goes over to try to help him. She's like, oh, I can't do it. I need a big, strong man.
And guess who
comes? And
then
he comes along and helps this little boy down. Yeah. And the little boy looks and sees him. And he's like, everybody on the ship's been talking about you.
The little boy knows.
And he's like, every time they start talking about you, they make me leave the room.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. So they help him out and he runs along the way. And then they have that scene on the stairs. But that little boy was my favorite part of the whole movie.
I agree. I love that.
I have to say the kids in the movie are really cute. They are cute.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
The choir kids later. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
we'll
cute.
Talk about that later. But, oh my gosh.
I thought it was a romantic kiss. You don't see them kissing.
You see their legs come together.
And you know they're kissing. And then after they kiss, they come down the stairs. And then after that, Terry really feels like they should not be seen together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes me sad is then they don't have much time on this ship together. So they
only had all spring, Courtney.
They spent half of the spring trying to avoid each other.
Which I think was hilarious when they're in the dining room
and
he's in a booth. Their backs are to each other, separated by a wall, and they don't know each other's there. And everybody's in the whole dining room's giggling and looking at them.
And they don't know why. And they're looking out at the dining room like, why is everybody laughing at me? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and it's like that the whole movie. It's like there's this big scandal happening with everyone on the cruise ship. Just the gossip is thick.
Yes. And they think that they're tricking everybody, but they're really not.
And they're not fooling anyone.
No.
We know that you guys want those stairs together.
Yes.
So quick question, like, are these two cheating?
Well, how do you define that?
That's what I want to ask you guys. How would you define it?
Well, I mean, like, I think you could say cheating as far as like, well, there's cheating. You had sex with somebody, but you were emotionally not invested. Mm-hmm. Is that cheating?
So,
or these two are emotionally invested and they have a kiss. Is that cheating?
Yes.
I think so. Sometimes, I mean, it's both grandma. Cheating, I think, you know.
That was serious.
They were emotionally invested.
And so emotionally invested that they leave.
You don't take the girl home to meet your grandma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cheating back then, I think, would have been viewed differently than it is now today.
How so?
Well, because look at all the ways we can cheat now. They didn't even have back then. So, like, there was no such thing as signing on to a dating app. Some people think that, you know, if you're in a married, committed relationship or even in a long-term committed relationship and you're hopping on a dating site and you're flirting with other people secretly, that's cheating.
Or even like Facebook. Or you can be, like, messaging people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be emotionally invested just by... You know, having a relationship on Facebook.
Yeah.
Messenger.
When
or
does that stuff become
cheating? Didn't exist
cheating.
Back then.
What about if you were, Olivia thinks is cheating.
Yeah. What is your generation?
Well, if you're in a committed relationship and you're on a dating app, then, like, that's probably cheating because why are you looking for something else if you're already
If you're in a committed relationship and you have a guy friend who you've been guy friends with a long time and you and him are close, now, like, you haven't jumped his bones or anything, and you're not like, oh my God, I can't wait to see you naked. But when you're like, I'm having an issue with it, and you ask them real problems, just like you'd ask a girlfriend, you know, yeah. Is that cheating?
Well, no, because you're not really emotionally invested.
But what if you are emotionally invested? What if this guy, like, what if you talk to this guy the way that you talk to your girls?
Then maybe he's just your best friend. I don't know.
Is it a sneaky factor that makes it cheating? Or is it like, so if you would, is it?
Well, if you're talking to him as if he's like one of your girlfriends, then you're probably not seeking him romantically, I guess.
So
that's kind of more definitive.
Is cheating if you change how you behave towards him or talk to him? If you would talk differently to him, if your boyfriend or girlfriend would see everything you were doing, if you would change what you were doing, if there's any sneakiness, is it the sneaky and the not upfrontness that makes it cheating or not?
I guess.
Or what if you've had this relationship and you've been good friends for 10 years,
and you don't change
anything about how you interact together.
Exactly.
And you're not even being sneaky or secretive, but all of a sudden something happens and you feel like the way you feel towards that person changes.
Then does it become cheating? This is a great question.
I don't know. It gets so complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that could happen in any culture or time period, like even in the 1950s when they didn't have all this technology and easy ways to be sneaky.
But that also depends like how secure you are in your relationship.
That's a good point. Do you feel like in this movie, the two main characters were secure in their relationships and actually had emotional bonds with their financiers? I mean, their partners.
That's true.
I do not think so.
Go ahead. You said.
The way that she was acting and talking about Nikki when she got back and was with her fiance was shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She was heartless.
Yeah.
She was. I really like him. I'm not really into you.
Yeah. That's basically
what she's saying. I don't have feelings towards you the way I do about Nikki.
And he was really nice. He was totally there for her.
He was.
He was there for her when she was crippled.
Yeah. And when she was in the hospital, like, talking, saying his name out loud.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Nikki, where are you? Where are you, Nikki?
So
some of the best acting. I hope she got an Emmy.
She's thrashing around. Oh, Nikki, the car. Oh my God! So I kind of think that they hadn't.
I'm trying to make her too romantic and classy.
I feel like they hadn't had. Yeah. They hadn't found like the people they were with, Lois and Kenneth were probably the best things they found, you know, and at a certain point in life, you're like, well, this is probably it, you know, like I want to.
Well, Kenneth was obviously willing to invest in her and he obviously wanted her to have nice things and he wanted to take care of her. So, I mean,
she was in a bad situation.
Yeah.
He was a good guy in
all places. So, you know, so that is a form of love. That is a form of love. I'm going to take care of you. I think one of the things that's different is that was almost a father-daughter relationship as much as it was a partner relationship. Mm-hmm. He was almost like a dad to her. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Because he was grooming her. And so like, I get it. It's like, okay, well, I guess that is a form of love, but that's more of a dad-daughter love where he just wants to fuck his daughter. I don't know.
Oh, you went there.
I think that they...
Anytime there's grooming involved, I kind of think that feels like a...
I think that they both, Nikki and Terry, hadn't ever experienced real love yet. So they didn't know until they met each other what that looked like.
That's a great point.
And then when they met each other, they realized what love really was, feeling love was.
I don't know if I would call it love yet. I think
Lust. Lust, connection.
I thought it was more passion. And
but Nikki's felt that a million times, you know, so there was more, it was a deeper, something deeper in
them. I think it's the fact that the grandma liked her. Mm-hmm. Think that sealed the deal.
No, I think he felt that immediately.
I think I she also was a challenge because she did not instantly reciprocate. She was like, no, I've already committed to this guy over here, even though you're charming. You know, you can't have me. And he's like, well, I want what I can't have. And
don't we all?
And aren't you, well, whoa, this girl has a backbone and she can resist me. And well, I want what I can't have.
And what did she say? She said, when they were talking about the fact that she had a guy at home, she said, imagine how handsome he is for me to resist such a handsome man as you.
But then didn't he also ask if she loved him, and she said, well, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
So she kind of gave in.
She did. And I think part of that's also because he's all like, treats her more like a child, you know, in the regards of, okay, I'm doing my business here and in Texas, you need to become more sophisticated. I want you to go have this cruise experience to increase your sophistication.
Yeah.
And so it was like, she sends on these like child errands and it's like, okay, well, like, all right, I'm going to just go do whatever you tell me to do. And when you tell me that I'm ready to be your wife and I met the criteria, I guess I'll become your wife because you paid for me to reach my
level. Because before then, as she said, she was a singer in a nightclub from 10 to 3. Then from 3 to 4, the manager chased her around.
For an hour, yeah. Which is what she went back to after.
Yeah, she did go back to that.
Mm-hmm. So I think it like that they try to avoid each other, avoid gossip. They realize the ship knows it's pointless. And they are like, okay, we really love each other. So they decide to spend their last night on the ship together. And that is, I think, when they decide, they basically say, we want to spend our life together. Mm-hmm. We want to be together, but we have to get our stuff in order. Like because they're engaged to other people and they're willing to, at this point too, they're basically willing to say, I'm going to give up all this money.
Yeah. And they both are giving up money to be with each other.
To be with you. And we're going to make it work. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. And we're going to take 6 months to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So in 6 months, they said July 1st at 5:00, they're going to meet on the top of the Empire State Building, and they will reunite after like ending those other relationships and kind of creating a life for themselves so that they can each bring something to the table.
Which is actually really mature.
It really is. I mean, but I think it's funny. So I think it's funny when the ship docks, they're on two separate sides and, you know, all the other passengers are in between them. And when they see their lovers or fiance, everyone, like all the passengers that they've been with, like keep looking from one to the other, like,
in so perfect
unison. What's happening? Yeah. What are they doing? What is Nikki going to do? What is Terry going to do?
It's like they had live reality TV.
Yes.
That was. That's totally what it was.
Well, okay. So what do you guys feel about this? Because here they were. They both know that they're going to break up with these people and ditch them and stuff like that. But then they're both blowing kisses to the person across the thing. And then the other one's going, did you just blow kisses to that person? Yes, I did. Okay, well, but they were almost encouraging each other to blow kisses to their significant other. Like, come on, you got to blow kisses to them. Keep the front for the second so you can let them down easy. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, there were a few weird things, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't fully understand that. Like, it was cute, but it wasn't. To me, it felt like they were both encouraging each other to, like, still lead the other person
put on a show.
Put on a mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
Like they were, and I didn't understand that if their intentions were to break up with the other person and
they were putting on a show. They were in front of everybody. There were cameras flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they probably
wanted to be respectful to their other partners.
Yeah. Because yeah. they did like them.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Yeah. Although it sounds like he just kind of ditched his girl completely. Like we never even heard another thing about.
Well, so they do split up with their partners. And they do, like, really get to work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Nikki. Nikki.
As much as a painter.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how this man survives.
Well, he was painting billboards. He was, like, getting paid to do billboards. And then he did a collection, and he took it to an art dealer.
But nobody was buying him.
Nobody was. Right. But then I think he did start selling.
No, he sold the painting
to her
after she was crippled.
Yeah.
And she didn't actually even pay for it. They just gave it to her because they felt sorry for her.
Yeah. Well, so he does right. make money, whatever, doing billboards. And she makes money. She goes back to singing in nightclubs.
Humming. Mm-hmm. More like it.
Yeah.
So then 6 months comes back around. She is so excited to be reunited with mm-hmm. him. She goes to this shop and gets a dress. She gets in a taxi.
Okay, but let's just talk about that for a second.
Let's do that.
Okay. So she's so excited about it. And, you know, like, she's had 6 months. Uh-huh. But she waits till she only has, like, 5 minutes. She gives herself 5 minutes to go buy her new dress that she needs to have right now to meet him. But then she doesn't even change into it.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Or maybe why did she go
to maybe the- she's getting a dress to get married in.
She went to go get a trinket, but that's silly. I mean, it didn't make sense.
And her fiance was behind it all, trying to, you know, talk the saleswomen into getting her to purchase a specific type of dress. So he was still trying to be in charge of her life.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, he wanted to get her to accept his credit again, so he would own her.
Yeah. Yeah, so she goes into this dress shop that she'd frequented many times with her previous lover, and he had a feeling that she might come in, so he alerted the sales clerks, if she does come in, let me know. So when she comes in, the sales ladies call him and say, Terry's here. So he runs down to the shop mm-hmm. and, you know, tries to, you know, get back into her life.
I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it all goes downhill.
Yeah. Cause mm-hmm. then she's even running more late because she has to have a 5 minute conversation with him.
And then running so late, she can't keep her head on straight. And she runs in front of a car. Like,
well, she's looking at the top of the Empire's. Her gaze is up. Not out. So yeah. She gets hit by a car.
And all of New York hears the scream.
Yes, yes. Except for...
And did you see...
For Nikki. For Nikki.
Did you see... the there was the that scene. The way that they shot that scene was kind of ridiculous. There were 40 people running over there to be the first ones to help her. I mean, people were running from a half a block away to be the first one to help her after she got hit by a car. Oh, there was a scream over there a half a block away. I'm going to leave my kid on the side of the road and run towards this person who screamed over here, even though there's 39 other people running to her and all of them are going to probably get there before me. I'm going to drop everything to run over there because somebody screamed over there.
Oh, so the tragedy is that Nikki is left on top of the Empire State Building
waiting.
Yeah. Terry never shows, but it's because she's in the hospital.
And he doesn't know that. She doesn't tell him.
And he just feels deflated.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back to his old bacheloring
ways.
Bacheloring.
If they had The Bachelor, he would be on it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And she, I have to say, she's pretty strong because her ex-lover helps her out a lot. But she's only going to accept so much because mm-hmm. she doesn't want to then again be indebted to him. Yes. And she keeps mm-hmm. telling him, he keeps asking, why aren't you telling Nikki what's happened?
Yeah.
Why aren't you contacting him?
Exactly.
And she says, I want to be able to walk to him.
Mm-hmm. So don't want him to feel like he's like, I don't want him to give up everything to pay for my surgery so I can walk again. Mm-hmm. So I don't want him to give up his life to pay for me to walk again. So I'll have to walk to him. He's like, well, why don't you just let me pay for it? Because it's no big deal. And I'll just pay for it. And she's like, no, I can't take that from you. And he's like, okay. Because then I'll be indebted to you. So I think it's funny how they think that her walking again comes down to money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm like, that's not exactly how neurological stuff works. But I'm going to wrap my spine in $100 bills.
There were a little, there were a few plot flaws
with Benjamin's.
But
I don't have MS. I have B Benjamin-S.
So she ends up trying to earn money herself by, isn't she like a
school teacher?
Choir teacher?
Mm-hmm. Choir teacher, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where the cutest kids come in.
They are adorable. Okay, yeah, like these kids are tramped along the town with just one like teacher, like mm-hmm. like driving them everywhere. Let's just go visit our teacher.
What I was shocked by, the 1950s. I would love to go. I mean, wouldn't you love to be a kid in the 1950s?
Yeah.
Absolutely no adult supervision whatsoever.
Yeah. They just ran wild.
They did. And like, okay, well, the teacher's just going to take the entire choir class for the entire day. Just like, hey, guys, we're just going to round you all up and we're going to go to her in her hospital room. Why is she in the hospital even though she's been coming in to visit us just randomly? She's in the hospital today.
I think she gets sick. She like has a cold or something. So that's why she can't.
She's bedridden and had colds.
Yes. Yeah. She didn't seem like it. But she seemed pretty preppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should leave the story there because I think, you know, people should watch this and see.
Ever tell him, I can't walk?
Yeah.
Is he going to accept her for who she is?
Yeah. Do they find each other again?
Do they?
Yeah.
And will I ever eat potato chips?
These questions. And many others.
Next time.
So... you guys want to talk, what do you think the
rating?
The reality of them getting together. How likely is it, right?
I feel like
situation, in real life.
Okay, well, that would never happen in real life. I feel like nobody goes on a cruise alone in general.
Okay, but take it like this. Yeah. What if you're on vacation?
What about the love boat? They took lots of cruises. Okay. People took lots of
Take it out of the love boat.
Did you
Let's just say you just went on vacation.
You watched the love boat?
Yeah.
You went on vacation.
Oh my God.
And you met this guy.
Did you watch the love boat?
I did.
The love boat.
I'm stressed out about the love boat. Jeez, no.
The love boat.
So the love boat is about a cruise ship where people hook up all the time?
Yes, including the staff. And the crazy looking doctor who like people are like, well, I don't know. I mean, he's a doctor, so I'm going to hook up with him anyway, even though he is crazy looking. Because he's a doctor.
So the staff on the love boat, I mean, it's the same people. It's the captain's mm-hmm. daughter,
Nikki.
Gopher.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like they'd have celebrities on every. Mm-hmm. They weren't celebrities. They were playing a role of somebody like the starlet who just
celebrity
husband
who
just died or whatever. Yeah. But they go on the love boat and certainly they find love. Mm-hmm. And they go by themselves.
Yeah.
So is there such a thing today? Like
Love Island.
Love Island. Oh, yes. Because those people are truly finding their soulmates.
They're there for the real true love.
Yeah. And what's the too hot to...
Too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle.
I like that one. That's my favorite one.
It's just crazy. They're just there. So, like,
don't look too hot.
So we can make money.
We're so hot. It's like, don't...
The reason why I like... The reason why I like that one so much is because they're not really competing with each other. They have to like work together. There's a little bit, but I feel like at the end, and there's some growing. They have to like that. That's
oh yeah, I mean, there's lots of growing.
Oh my
gosh. I mean, and they're just like, I mean, does it count if we like do this with each other? I mean, technically it's your knee, but I mean, like, that's this is fine, right?
Is that? I need to know
where do you draw the line? I don't know.
I do not like reality shows, I do like that one. Yeah. It's the only one I can watch.
Really?
Yes. Oh my gosh! I just remember there was this guy one time. He was like, "Yeah, one of the ways I pick up chicks because I get laid by a new girl every night is I sing them songs and." I'm going to pick up one of the other people by singing her a song.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
Oh, I remember that one too. And she was just like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for you. I mean, that's great.
They were trying to make him stop singing? Is that how he
got it? No, like,
they're like, I'll do anything to shut you up.
Well, she was like, you know, he thought he was
not into it at all. She was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, he thought he was. Would you be into that?
No.
The guy was like, yeah, I might go song because I'm like so sexy that way.
You want to get with it.
I mean, like you can because like I'm too hot.
I mean, I think she was trying to be pretty nice about it. She's like,
she was so nice about it.
Thanks.
Yeah, like, but like seriously, when he was like, this is how I get chicks. And you're
like, it goes to the cut scene when they're, you know, like behind the scenes, like talking about what happened. And she was like, yeah, that was really weird. She was not having it.
I just want to know. Oh. Who would that work for?
Apparently, a lot of people.
Apparently, every day.
Yeah. Works. I mean, like, the only way that would be cute to me is if I was in a long-term relationship with a guy who was really shy and was totally not doing that because he thought he was good at it, but totally doing it because he wanted to try to be sweet to me. And he's like, okay, I'm going to come out of my shy closet.
Yeah. He says, this is a song I wrote specifically for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he does the best he can to sing it. And exactly.
And that would be adorable.
But not this guy who she's known for like 24 hours. Who starts serenading her.
That makes him sexy.
Serenading her. Serenading?
Yeah. It was kind of serrating. I'm like, I think I would have rather had him serrate me. Megan, stop.
Oh my gosh. So not very likely.
Okay,
I don't think under any circumstances that these two people would have ever really truly met and fallen in love.
Really?
I think
they could.
I think it was so weird.
Okay, I think
everything about it.
I think these two people could have for some reason. I was on a business trip. We were both on a business trip where we had like, okay, for some reason we're on this business trip for a week, but we really only have two meetings each, at one at the beginning and then one at the end. So we're just going to stay here in this beautiful place. And while I'm on this business trip vacation, I
would these
meet
two
someone.
People realistically ever get together? She would be the one supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's never been gainfully employed his entire life.
Absolutely.
And
I know, I think they could have met. I mean, like the whole meeting.
Oh, they totally
could
have met.
But as far as how realistic their relationship lasting would be.
I guess we're not talking about how long it's going to last right now.
Yeah, we're just talking about how.
To get together.
I think it could happen. Yeah. I think they could totally get together because look at how dysfunctional it is.
I think they're so
dysfunctional. People like bump bubblies all the time.
She's not dysfunctional. I think that
she's not really, really like she's not dysfunctional.
I think
her era, she's not dysfunctional. For today's era, she's fucking dysfunctional.
Yeah.
For 1950s, she's. Yes, in 1950s, oh my God, I was picked to be groomed That's an honor.
But she also resented it and she wanted to get
because
away from
smart.
That.
But the resentment.
Do you think she would have stayed? Well, okay.
Had she not met somebody else.
You're right. They're dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And they would not laugh. Yeah. Okay.
And of course they would hook up in bum bunglies. I mean, dude, yeah, that, of course they're going to, I mean, like, honestly, two hot people get together and they both are like, but you understand me because we both are just playing this lies with everyone else, but only you get me and your grandma likes me.
And they're completely dependent on everyone else
and,
in the world.
But let's both just be brave and strong on our own together. And then we're going to come back and we're going to just love each other forever. And we're going to pretend that it doesn't matter that we just gave up everything. Yeah.
And that we don't know how to support ourselves.
And we don't, but we'll fix that for ourselves.
So realistically. Yeah.
But I do like the fact that they give themselves 6 months
I'm
up
still
on their
neutral
own.
On
but
like
eventually,
that too. I just,
yeah, but eventually I don't think they'd last.
Okay. So that's the next question.
Well, because they're
how
still in like the romance.
Oh,
yeah. Like they're still lusting.
Yeah,
2 years.
They're
still, okay. You'll do anything,
well, if
you know.
All in spring together, shouldn't that be?
Yeah.
No, no. We say that it can last up to 2 years.
I say 2 years.
Because
I'm going to go
so
with
they
that.
They
too.
Have a 2 year shelf life. All
2 to 4 years.
Well,
I mean, like
the 6 months apart, but then even more after that because they never met.
But absence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, and this is also for Burden, and it's also.
Holy
it's
shit,
this,
Courtney
this
went with
sexiness.
2 years.
I did. Do you really?
That's a
did you
first.
That?
What's that?
I did notice
it's
that.
It's two to four years.
She's this is never... Courtney's first, not forever.
I might have done another one.
I don't think
oh,
so.
Yeah, I think that maybe not.
One or two.
Yeah,
that,
oh,
yeah,
that's
I,
right.
Yeah, okay.
2 years. Oh, I think we all agree. 2 years.
Because I think that
just until, you know, they can't support themselves anymore.
And
well,
they're
they realize
to
they're
a
like,
certain, they're
yeah.
used to a certain
yeah.
lifestyle.
They can't keep living that lifestyle.
I mean,
they realize
could you,
it's not realistic.
Could you imagine this couple, the second they have any reality that bites, like, oh my God, our kid has colic.
They wouldn't, they would call 911.
Because it's already 911. Yeah. They already feel like, oh my God, I'm so amazing for giving up all of this for you. And that's just to be normal. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I have to be a normal human being and mildly productive on my own.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. How spicy?
They'd fuck like rabbits for 2 years.
Green pepper, jalapeno, cayenne, habanero, and ghost.
Oh, the show was totally mild.
You didn't even see them kiss.
Yeah,
you know,
they,
it they was
kissed
kidding.
Once on camera.
A bell pepper.
Where was that?
No, twice on camera. Once on the ship. When she's like, we can't be seen together
but
anymore.
They
but then
did.
They have that one quick.
Yeah, but you can't. You see like the back of his head or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then once they reunite at the end, they
the grandma. Oh, really? He kissed his grandma on the lips.
Oh,
that was so.
And they were there was some lippy kissing.
Yeah. Do I look like grandpa?
Of incestual lippy kissing.
Well, so how old was the grandma? How old was the grandma?
Oh,
she was like kicking it.
She
was
like
supposed
90.
To be.
Well, yeah. How old was he?
Oh, he was.
I like, would say he was in his like 50s, right?
I think he said grandma was somewhere in her 70s or 80s.
That's not true. There's
that,
no way. If
there's
he was
no.
50,
I know. That's why I kept saying
no.
I'm like, I couldn't quite.
Yeah, his reality
then,
was he was 50.
Was like 70.
Yeah.
Was that
but
actually
back her, then?
Was the grandma actually his mother?
No.
No.
But here's the thing, you guys. He was.
Probably
50,
his sister.
But
show.
He was he was supposed to be playing like a 30-year-old man. He was in reality 50, but he was actually supposed to be playing
well,
like a 30-year-old
gray.
Man.
Well, yeah, gray. I think he just
no, but they we were supposed to pretend we didn't see that.
We were supposed
no,
to pretend.
No, I think he was supposed to be a seasoned guy.
He was supposed to be seasoned by like 35 season because you have to remember in this time period, men got married when they were like 22, 23, 24. So he's seasoned at 35. A man not married by 35
okay, so
is
he's
very
35,
seasoned.
40. How old
at
is the
most,
grandma?
Grandma,
I thought she was in her 70s.
She was in her 70s,
think,
which was
so,
20.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
But he just isn't really.
But she still looked a lot younger than.
He was gross.
She looked young. Didn't you think?
Grandma?
Yeah, I felt like it was a young actor that was made up to look older.
Well, Grandma has to be a hottie because we like her. Yeah. I mean, if Grandma was a bitchy character, she'd be ugly. But because Grandma is this beautiful character who is the foundation upon why it's true love for them, she has to be beautiful because that's what Hollywood does.
Yeah.
True.
Her hands did look a little old.
Do you guys have a favorite line?
I really enjoyed all of yours that you
I didn't even tell you my favorite line. They're turning in, it's the last night, and they're not going to stay in their cabin together. And they're saying goodbye. And I think she says, I'm going to turn in, do some more rolling and tossing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long night.
Ooh.
That's a spicy one.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys didn't have a favorite line? There were so many.
Winter must be cold for those with no.
When it was like the beginning, when did she call him or did he call her? And she was like, don't speak. And there's, well, then why'd you call me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you talk to me?
Yeah, don't you talk
His fiance to me? Calls and says that to him. He said, well, then why did you call me?
Oh, this is fiance.
Yes.
Was it his fiance or just some random girl? Was it a lover, another lover?
Another lover.
Who is this Gabrielle? I think while he was engaged to this one, Gabrielle lady. And I thought that Gabrielle was also like, I'm going to visit grandma and I'm going to hook up with Gabrielle.
I think it was Gabrielle who also gave him the cigarette case.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, she's like, thank you for this three nights.
He had a lover on the side.
Already.
Besides the fiance.
Wow.
He really was a playboy. Yeah.
Oh, I love how we pretend that this is charming. In this show, that's supposed to give him masculinity and clout. So they portray it. And I think it's funny, in the 1950s, 60s, the man who has all these women, that's actually like, oh, you're a bad boy. But it's actually, look at you. You can do that.
Well, he's not very nice to Gabrielle either on the phone. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, she calls him and he's...
It's like, why are you bothering me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Why? I'm on my
You're just
trip.
My, yeah, you're my side hustle.
Yeah.
Don't call me, I'll call you.
So do you guys feel like this storyline, just the bare bones of it, not the bad acting or the terrible videography that was like spot on for the time. Like, it's hard to look past that stuff.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel like it was
for that time? Yes. That was the normal acting, mm-hmm. the over dramatic, melodramatic, everything.
Yes. Pretend you're on stage, but you're actually not.
Yeah. I don't think acting got good until like the early 2000s. It was pretty bad up until then.
No, there's good act. There was good act. Lots of good actors.
In the 90s, for sure.
I mean, think about
Humphrey
Bogart. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, Humphrey man. Those Bogart. Two can communicate.
Greta Garbo.
Oh,
I see. I don't know
guys.
Who these people are. So
oh, my
I just
gosh.
Maybe need to go back.
She could
time
say,
a
like, she would give a look and, like, her eyebrow would go up. And, like, the script was so much better when those, like, their chemistry. Oh, my gosh.
Now,
like,
what era were they?
Like between 30 and 60s.
Yeah. Like if you want to see chemistry in action, like, man, the script was better when there was no script.
Betty
Maybe
Davis.
That's what it,
oh, yeah.
Maybe
oh,
it was just like, beholden to terrible scripts.
You just, I mean, this would be like watching a rom-com now with just so-so actors.
Yeah.
Although, Cary Grant is I think they're
both
good actors.
Good actors.
Cary Grant is an amazing actor.
He is an amazing
I just
actor.
Love him.
I do too.
So maybe it's just the
and
movie.
She's,
you know,
and
I
she's
think
a really
just,
good actress too. Like she,
yes,
she,
is.
She was in The King and I.
Oh, yes.
But I mean,
yes.
I just remember we went through like, do you remember that October? We were like, let's watch classic. Because we always like to watch scary movies in October. Uh-huh. There was like, let's watch the classic scary movies. So we watched like, what is it?
The Blob.
Not The Blob, the one, Frankenstein? I want to say Psycho is in the title. American Psycho.
I didn't watch it. That must have
There was, with the Bates Motel.
Yeah,
Psycho, that's just
okay,
plain
Psycho.
Psycho.
And just like the way that they scream and they show the knife stabbing, mm-hmm. and it's just like, I mean, that was probably terrifying, but now it's like, meh.
Yeah.
because it doesn't feel realistic at all.
Think about the book we just read for book club, Dopamine Nation. I mean, our standards for anything are
pretty raised.
How many? Yeah, look at the ED rates. ED rates because of porn.
Right.
So what was scary, Psycho, was my mom said one of the scariest movies she's ever seen. You know, like to her, and now that, like the scene where she's in the shower and he's stabbing her. To my mom's like, I could never take a shower again without like locking the bathroom door, you know, because she just that image.
That was terrifying.
Yeah. Now think of the scary movies.
Oh my gosh.
And you're almost like, this is
ridiculous. Think of the scary movies now. I mean, they're very
intense and they're graphic.
I can't even watch. I can't even watch them. I can't watch scary movies.
Have you guys watched
the movie Hereditary?
I have. I don't want to watch it. I can't.
Why would I want to watch?
Very scary.
We are so captivated with how realistic. Like, let's get into the total mind. Let's actually, moment by moment, have you feel the torture that this person was put through in real life. I mean, my empathetic. So I'm like, I'm bawling. I'm crying. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to be tortured through empathy by watching that?
So does this story matter? Is it relevant to today? I guess. Did you feel like this movie related to today's world?
I was so uncaptivated. It was like I couldn't relate to any bit of it. So
maybe at the time, like this was just such a romantic movie, such a romantic idea. But now it's not so much.
Probably a really romantic idea.
Okay, but I think the reason that this was such a romantic movie for the time was because if you look at the culture of the time, she had a man who was totally willing to completely provide for her, who built her up as far as
what making every woman wanted.
She basically had all of that and she gave it all up.
Just for what? Like
for love.
Yeah, for this.
For this love.
He gave up a lot.
Gave up all of the money and all of the status and all of that. I am the sexy man who gets
and
everybody.
The idea of, because I think at the very beginning, what does he even say? This is another good line.
His promiscuity, I just can't help it, I cheat.
No, monotony, like something about monotony is...
Monotony is not me.
I don't know why I can't say that word. Monotony is not for me. Oh my gosh. Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, and so I think in this sense, it's so...
So he was giving up the idea of... Oh, monogamy.
Monogamy, yes.
Monotony is not for me.
But I think that this is the whole idea of like the prince who gives up his kingdom in order to marry the peasant girl. In a sense. And that has a sexiness
to it.
Someone
who's willing to give everything up for someone else.
And then in
like
this one they take it.
Yes.
And this is the first this movie takes it two steps further than any other past historical replication of that theme in that they actually do give it up for 6 months to improve themselves. This is the first time you've seen that type of a thing happen in a relationship. So this is actually one of the first deepest thing that you ever see in a movie. So this is actually the true, this idea that I have personal growth that I need to do before I'm ready for a relationship with you. So this is a new theme that is this is the first movie that's ever introduced that theme.
So hard to relate to today, just because I think cultural expectations of men and women have changed so drastically.
Absolutely.
That's why I was like, I found it just gag worthy. I just was like, what?
Yeah.
But it's just because that's not a culture or... Well, that's not entirely true. I did grow up in a culture where women were supposed to be pretty submissive and have everything, you know, men be very domineering and take care of
women. I was raised but by, I guess, I mean, I was raised to be a 1950s housewife. Yeah.
It's so different that it was like.
I can relate to these things because I was raised by a Depression era grandmother to be a 1950s housewife. So even though I'm from our generation, I was actually raised to be a 1950s housewife.
Yeah.
Above everything else.
I would have liked to have seen more of the growth of their like relationship. Sure. I just feel like that was cut too short.
I wanted agree with to you. See, it's too Scooby-Doo.
I wanted to see why they were, I wanted why to see more of their connection and, mm-hmm. and why they were interested in each other and what was, you
just
know, why they
said a
would
few flirty words here and there.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed too short.
I agree
me.
With you.
I kind of kept thinking because that is what I liked seeing in that movie was when they were, you know, the
calling each other out on their behaviors.
Yeah. The banter. And, I liked them together. So half the movie was them not being together. And mm-hmm. So it's hard to make that connection of like, why would they, I mean, it feels like they knew each other for
a
minute.
But you can only banter for so long. Before have to like up it a little bit.
But they just, I mean, like, what else did they do with each other that like created a relationship?
Had already agreed to basically change her entire life, drop her other things. And then she, after, you know, with him, and then one of her last comments before they broke away was, oh, do you like kids?
Yeah.
did you miss that?
No,
part?
I got that. Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Would you want to have kids? Like, if we get together.
I've already decided I'm going to leave my person. We're going to meet at this and this and this. And oh, by the way, do you like kids?
Yeah, everything was so superficial. They
so to me, like a good love story, a good love story is the slow burn. The like how they're, you know.
Catching fire.
And
how are they overcome something really challenging? It felt like they didn't really have to overcome anything to decide that they loved each other.
But there was nothing that built you up to that. To me, I felt like they're.
Why did they do that? Why did they throw everything away for that?
Why do we care?
I agree.
It's like they're for a few.
Because Grandma wants them to hook up.
And they prayed together.
And they prayed together.
That made all the difference.
You know, just chatting with the couple that had been married for 77 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a totally different time. They dated in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And just thinking about how, like, well, what is it that attracted you about this person? Or
like,
or what kind of things did you enjoy doing together? It's just, well, it worked.
Yeah.
And that was how it was. Like, even dating, it's just, well, this feels right and it works.
But you know what they say, though? They honestly say that the number one most important thing to make a marriage work is mm-hmm. that you are like, you find someone that you're like, okay, are we both going to agree to work on this together?
Or to work through hard things.
And to work through hard things. And are mm-hmm. we going to agree to respect each other and work on things?
Which is why, I know this is going to sound totally crazy.
Arranged marriages.
But like arranged marriages. Because in other cultures, like there's a lot of community support.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just the cultural expectation is that you do work through hard things together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes sometimes to make relationships work. It's just that attitude of,
we're just going to choose.
We're going to choose.
How does that sound, Liv?
Arranged marriage.
How about if we choose your next partner?
Wow.
It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Okay. Good question.
And yet it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It actually tends to work better than... I wonder what the divorce rates are for arranged marriages versus...
Very low.
Well,
because
I wonder if...
Elizabeth Gilbert wrote this book called Committed, and it was her follow-up book from Eat, Pray, Love, which I didn't love Eat, Pray, Love.
I hated it.
And everybody loved it. Got great reviews. It was her most successful book.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny.
And yet, her follow-up book, I really actually liked that one, and nobody's even heard of it.
I couldn't read it because I just couldn't get through Eat, Pray, Love. Because I'm like, what a selfish bitch.
I loved Committed. I was like, and then she talks a lot about arranged marriages.
She has a lot of good points.
She does have a lot of good points. And it's like, I actually really liked that book.
Well, if you think about it, like, okay, let's just say we were to arrange marriages for our children. I mean, I'd be like looking at like, I'm like, oh, I mean, I don't know, but it's something where we're friends. Mm-hmm. So you'd look at the people that are more like you have mm-hmm. raised your children, like you kind of all raised your children the same way, sort of the same economic situation, probably, mm-hmm. unless you're trying to marry your child up or something. But, you know, so
we're
sometimes,
down, either way.
Sometimes totally that works, I think. if children are kind of raised in the same way, I mean, I can mm-hmm. see that working.
I can see how the community plays a role in, mm-hmm. in I guess, getting yeah. relationships.
Well, and
together,
also, and I think in stating that too, when it's an arranged marriage, we're like, oh, okay, you know what? I love my kid. Mm-hmm. I know their strengths and weaknesses. So I know that you don't know that. And so you're more inclined to be like, I'm going to help you and support you in dealing with, like, I'm going to be the safety net for those deficits in this. Like, you're not on your own in a sense. It's like, okay, no, we do know that this exists. We do know that, okay, yeah. You know, when my kid eats tomatoes, he farts like a, you know, like a, he's just, oh my God, you know, or whatever. So.
Or is it in the cultures that do have arranged marriages, divorce is not really accepted?
That's what I was thinking.
That's part of it too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, yes. Like you just
and
have
actually,
an expectation.
Yeah, when they were talking about it in Committed, she mm-hmm. talked about how the women are very close knit and the mm-hmm. men go off and they do their thing. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, get together here and there, but it's not like they're like at each other's throats all the time mm-hmm. too. It's more of a community than it is, you know, a marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's different than what we do here. And I don't know that we're right.
No.
Or that they're mm-hmm. right.
Okay.
It's different.
Let's just take a second. Cause like all of us have been mm-hmm. friends for so long. How many times did all of us just seriously go like, why can't we just have a compound with all the women and our babies and our boys can come visit?
I still think that. Just now I'm like it just needs to be a retirement community.
Yeah.
We're going to all have our compound and, you know,
oh,
the men can just.
Like everyone gets their little mini wing.
Yeah.
I want a communal kitchen.
I want a communal kitchen and everyone has a kitchenette. And you have a communal mm-hmm. kitchen. And then we also, but I want to add stuff like, I want to have a community woodworking shop and a community like kiln and mm-hmm. a community. Like I
community
want to
community garden.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
We need to have like hula hoop classes. And
hell yes, we do. Because yeah. the Wednesday night, only
kind of
one
classes?
A year is
hula
hoop.
Oh. Keeps your hips, you know, flexible. And
didn't I give you
such a specific thing?
Like,
I love
wait,
it.
Wait, Courtney, I gave you a glow up hula hoop too, right?
No,
I never got one.
You never got one. Oh, okay. Now I know what you're gonna get. I'm sorry. Well,
looking forward to my next birthday then.
Because you know what, I haven't used mine yet.
Oh, I have.
I had mine a year.
She does light shows.
Livia taped it to the ceiling one day and like just lit it up. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty.
That's pretty awesome.
I could get it out.
Well,
It was not relevant because it didn't feel culturally, you know.
No.
It Acted felt culturally
again.
Off. Who would you guys recommend this to?
I mean.
Nobody.
Livia, don't hold back. Tell
I
us.
I will say, Brad and Livia started it with me. And Brad's like, I can't do this.
He
left.
30 minutes in.
Yeah, 30 minutes
in.
He left. I should be watching Flow right now.
I was checked out.
So it doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up anymore.
Didn't.
No.
Yeah. The Goonies did though.
Yeah. Absolutely. Always will.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, that's
okay.
All we have.
Remember to subscribe and like.
Write a review.
Review.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rate us. Did we always say that?
We always say that.
Rate us.
Rate us. And
check out the website and send us your love stories.
Please.
And if
yes.
you want us to talk about your relationship problem and tell you what we would do. I want to know. Like,
yeah,
ask us
we'll give you bad advice. I mean, great advice.